chapter 8, verse 14. Now this evening we're going to have communion and a time of waiting on the Lord and time of seeking His face. And I would just ask that even right now you would just be open to the Holy Spirit and be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit may speak into your heart through the Word. And in the time to come, we're going to have communion, and then we're going to have a time where we'll be able to share what the Holy Spirit may be putting on our own hearts. And so, let's pray. Lord, we do just thank You for Your Word. And Lord, Your Word is a treasure that You've given us. And Lord, Your Word is spiritually energizing as it's living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, I want to pray for the spiritually dull here tonight, those who may just be dry or struggling or feeling distant, those who are not feeling the power of Your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that You would revive us according to Your Word. I pray that our hearts would be open. And Lord, I pray that the power of Your Holy Spirit would penetrate even to the division of the soul and the spirit. I thank You for this precious gathering, Lord. And I thank You for the freedom to gather. And I thank You for the opportunity to have Your Word as a lamp unto our feet, Lord. Bless Your people today with Your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Kings chapter 8. We've been going through this chapter and discussing, even the previous chapter, this theme that runs through here, and it's dedication. And as we look at this theme of dedication, we find a place in Scripture where the children of Israel now, if you'll notice in verse 1 of chapter 8, it says, Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel. And so King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to the city of David, from the city of David, which is Zion. The whole group was focused on this one thing. And they were dedicated to this one thing. And this is the time in the history of the children of Israel where we see this unity of people devoted to God, recognizing their calling and their purpose, and having just realized the fulfillment of God's plan for them, but also the understanding of His plan that continues to unfold. And so you have this scene of these people gathered together with one heart, with one mind, with an attitude of dedication as they come around the temple that was built by Solomon, as they all were contributors to that building of the temple. And they come to a place where they're all on the same page. They're all together, and they're together in this endeavor of dedicating a place where they can come and worship. So it's such beauty when the body of Christ dwells together in unity. And that unity is around the sweet, precious Lord Jesus. And when people come together in a community to worship Jesus, to put Him first, to glorify Him, to center their lives around a place of worship. Now we have then the essence of community, a spiritual community. So in this place of strength and power, we find Solomon now dedicating that temple. And again, it was the temple was a place where people would come to worship. And so as we get into the scriptures here this evening, I would just like us to be thinking about what place the worship of God has in our own lives. And I'm not just talking about going to church or going to a worship service or doing worship. I'm talking about living worship. That word worship means giving worth, value. That our lives then as believers are to give value to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in every situation and circumstance. The Bible says that God seeks the earth looking to find those who will worship Him. And this is the beauty of the simplicity of Christianity, is we're just a bunch of people who love Jesus. That's it. And we love Him because He first loved us. Have you been blown away by God lately? Has He brought you to your knees? Has He caused your jaw to drop? Has He awed you? Has He demonstrated His power? Have you just come to a place where you just admire how beautiful He is? The same David, he said, "This one thing I desire, to see the beauty of the Lord." So the children of Israel created a central place to see the beauty of the Lord. Verse 14, "The king turned around and blessed the whole assembly of Israel while all the assembly of Israel was standing." I love that scene, guys. Because so often through Scripture, we see this dividing of community. The children of Israel will soon be divided, correct? What does the Bible say about a house divided? Kreider got it first again. You didn't raise your hand though, Kreider. He's good, isn't he? You got to be pretty quick to get in before Kreider. But, okay, just check out the scene here, though. I mean, the king turned around and blessed the whole assembly. While the assembly of Israel was standing. And I just have this amazing picture of Revelation chapter 4. The throne room of God, you know, it's these people that they have history, right? They have history with God here. They have seen God work. They have experienced the hand of God delivering them, developing them, building them, and bringing them to a place that He promised that He would bring them. And here's these people now gathered around the king of Israel, Solomon, whom God has placed on the throne, and they're there dedicating a house of worship. They're standing. They're ready to worship. They're excited. They have seen God. And they have experienced Him working. And this is that scene where I see this picture of of our fellowship, of coming together on Wednesday night and just worshiping the Lord, being ready to meet with God, to open our hearts with God. And I think it's such a beautiful picture of this community and this connection that people had to God first, which caused them to have this connection with one another. But it was all because it was centered around this wonderful, amazing God. And we see this, and I just think it's so unfortunate that this picture has developed into more of a picture where you have so many different denominations and affiliations and so many different things where splitting of hairs even has been so fine and so close that the body of Christ has been fractured and severed, that oftentimes we miss this wonderful beauty here, that when we get to the foot of the cross, we are all just people who worship God. And that's really what God wants. And I hope and pray as we look at these chapters and these verses that we find first and foremost that our heart is not divided, that our minds are single in its focus and its devotion, that we just want God. And as we just want God, we come together as a community of people saying, God, we're here to worship you. We're here to admire you, to see your beauty, to know you, to draw closer to you. This is the scene with the children of Israel. And Solomon said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Imagine all the people around, all the history, all the trials, the difficulty, and here they are. Free, delivered, God in the center. And Moses, the king of Israel, his words are, blessed be the God of Israel. The God of Israel who spoke with his mouth to my father, which was David, and with his hand, what? Oh, is that God, that one? With his hand fulfilled it. Did you get that? If you have a pen, you might want to underline that. Fulfilled it. So if God says something, it's fulfilled. There's no question about it. And here we have them celebrating their personal experience of God saying something and them experiencing God's fulfilling of that thing. But see, sometimes we have that experience in the past, but we also have to apply that to right now, that if God has said it in His Word, it will be fulfilled. And I love how the book of Ephesians talks about the armor of God, and it says that there's a shield of what? Shield of faith. And it says that shield of faith is what is used to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Faith, believing in God, trusting in God, quenches all the fiery darts of the enemy. To me, that is an amazing weapon that God has given us. He's given us faith that if we use faith, trusting in God, it will completely put out continually all the fiery darts of the enemy. That's the answer to spiritual warfare. That we take God for His Word, we believe in His Word, and we trust Him in all He's going to do, that He will fulfill all that He has promised. In verse 17, now it was in my It was in the heart of my father David to build the temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. Now, have you ever had a burden on your heart? Like God has put something on your heart to do something? And have you ever experienced any frustration because that burden or that thing He's put on your heart has not happened? Anybody? Few people. Well, watch this. This is David. And this vision David had. David had a vision. He had a burden. His heart was delighting in the Lord, and he said, "Lord, I love you so much. I'm going to build a temple, a house for you." And imagine the excitement and the passion that David would have. Imagine as he would think about this temple. And we found out that Solomon got some of the things for the temple from David. David had started preparing the temple. And Solomon got some of those things to put in the temple. But in verse 18 it says, "But the Lord said to my father David, whereas it was in your heart to build the temple for my name, you did well that it was in your heart." The fact that it was in David's heart and that he had this desire, to God, that was enough. That was rewarded. David never built a temple. I find so much truth here that this was the moment for me when I was studying that I had this epiphany that it's not the doing and the performing of the thing. David didn't get to do it, but he was rewarded because he wanted to do it. And you know, so often it's just we have these burdens and these desires and these things, and we say, "The Lord has put those on my heart." But here I find out that those things might not ever happen. But that really doesn't matter, because God looks at our desires as the achievement. Because in reality, the performance is what God does through us, right? And aren't we a people that we glorify the achievement quite a bit? We like that, don't we? We like the conceiving of a plan. We like the actualization of something that's in our hearts. But that might not happen. But see, God sees these desires. And I see here is God is rewarding David that he wanted to do that. But it wasn't exactly God's full plan for David to be the guy that actually was directly involved in building the temple, and David never got to experience the temple. But he was rewarded for that. And interestingly, then Solomon got to do that, but it was David's desire. But Solomon got the part where he got to actually see and be a part of the building of the temple. But it seems like to me David was the one rewarded. And so a lot of times we can get frustrated, and there are even books out that talks, they talk about your dreams and your vision, and if you think it, it will happen. That book, The Secret, has anybody ever heard of that? You have? Can I see a show of hands, anybody? The Secret? It's really, a really popular book. I guess it's not that much of a secret. But the whole purpose of the book was that if you think something, it will happen. And we see this type of teaching often get into Christianity, to where if you dream it, God put that in there, and if you think about it and vision it and dream it and purpose it, then it'll happen. But I don't see that in the Bible. I see more of an emphasis and a focus not on the actual thing, but on just wanting to do things for God, and God rewards that. But whatever may happen from that is up to Him. And that's, the performance is not really where the reward is. The willingness, the openness, the obedience, those things, the surrender, that's where the reward is. But whatever happens with our obedience is really not up to us, right? I don't think God gets really impressed when we do something for Him, because He puts it in us to do it, and then He completes it through us. So I don't think He's like, wow, you're awesome. I don't think He's like, whoa, He's the one. When we get to heaven and we stand before Him, we're going to be given crowns, rewards, and we're going to see Jesus, and we're going to be like, here, take this crown. This had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with You doing it through me. So take heart. The encouragement here is not to be frustrated or to be discouraged or to be so dependent or even to the point of idolizing the action. Because in reality, it's simply about our worship of God relationally. And whatever He wants to do with that, that's up to Him. But see, don't you agree? It takes being fulfilled in Him in order to be patient or be willing to defer or willing to allow other things to take place that may not be our thing. But the whole point is that God Himself would be enough. Him. And that if we have desires that we would say, Lord, You're so amazing, I love You so much, it'd be really cool to do this, and it'd really be neat if we can reach these people, and it'd be really great if this ministry can happen, and we pray about it, but we don't force it and we don't make it happen. But maybe those desires are going to be a benefit to somebody else or somebody that comes after. Would that be okay? Or is it only okay if we do it? And we all stand on the shoulders of many people who have come before us, paving the way in order for us to be able to do what we do. But what it all comes down to, and I'm just going to finish with this as we get into our time of fellowship and waiting on the Lord and communion, what it really all comes down to is God is constantly trying to move us to a place where it's just about Him. And He's enough. And it's not about our performance or our achievement. It's not about what God does through us and what people can see. But it's more about what people can't see. It's more about the inner person and the intimacy and fellowship that's inside of us. And when that is happening inside of us, we can easily say, Lord, your will be done. You do what you will. But just give me you. Give me you constantly. Because you are enough. We're going to bring the worship group up, and maybe we can kill the lights over there. And we'll have the ushers come forward. And they're going to pass out the communion elements here. And I'd like to encourage you now that this time right now is simply about you and Jesus. Basically, this is an opportunity that we are taking to use this time to make this about you and Jesus. And I don't know where you're at or what's going on in your life, but I do know that God is real. He's here. He wants to connect with us and He wants to fellowship with us. And I believe it's so important that we take this time to do that very thing. And so please, this time, be open. We're going to have a time for the body to minister to the body. If the Lord puts something on your heart, a scripture, a word of knowledge, a prayer, even if you have a tongue, but we have to have an interpreter, as the Bible says, and there can't be more than three. And if anybody does have the gift of tongues, the gift of tongues is always directed to God and not to people. That's another thing we need to watch, that this tongue will be spoken to the Lord, and it won't be a word directly to people. But if the Lord puts that on your heart, then we'll look for the interpretation as well. But let's not hinder the Holy Spirit. Let's not get in the way. Let's not put up our guard, but let's just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us. So we're gonna be in to worship the Lord. Guys will be passing out the communion. Don't worry about anybody beside you, or don't worry about what happened today. Just, this is you in the throne room with God. He's waiting for us. Let's worship the Lord. Oh, hang on to your communion elements and we'll take them all together.